Welcome to the OCR GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most important and thought-provoking topics on the specification, wealth and poverty. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode has everything you need: core concepts, key quotes, exam technique, and a quick-fire quiz at the end. Let's get started. Section 1. Core concepts. What is wealth and why does it matter religiously? First things first. In your OCR exam, you need to understand that neither Christianity nor Islam teaches that wealth is inherently evil. This is a crucial distinction. What both traditions teach is that the love of wealth, placing it above God and other people, is where the problem lies. Let's start with the famous misquote that trips up so many candidates. You will almost certainly encounter this in an exam, and getting it right will earn you marks. The quote is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, and it reads, "The love of money is the root of all evil." Not money itself, the love of it. If you write "money is the root of all evil" in your exam, the examiner will note it as an error and you will lose marks. So say it with me: "The love of money is the root of all evil." Brilliant. Now, both Christianity and Islam share a foundational idea. Wealth belongs ultimately to God, and humans are entrusted with it as stewards or trustees. In Christianity, this is called stewardship. In Islam, the equivalent concept is khalifa, meaning vicegerent or trustee of God on earth. Both concepts teach that humans do not truly own their wealth. They are responsible for managing it wisely and justly on God's behalf. This is a high-level idea that examiners love to see in top-band answers. Let's look at Christianity first. The parable of the sheep and the goats, found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, is perhaps the most important teaching for this topic. In this parable, Jesus separates people at the final judgment based on whether they fed the hungry, gave water to the thirsty, welcomed the stranger, clothed the naked, and visited the sick and imprisoned. The key line is, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." This teaching is the theological engine behind Christian charity. It is not simply about being kind, it is about encountering Christ in the poor. This is why organizations like Christian Aid exist, not just to do good, but because they believe they are serving Christ when they serve the poor. Another key Christian teaching is from Mark chapter 10, verse 25. "It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." This is Jesus responding to the rich young ruler, who could not bring himself to sell his possessions and give to the poor. The teaching warns against attachment to wealth as a barrier to spiritual life. However, it is important to note that this does not mean all wealthy Christians are condemned. The context is about the danger of prioritizing wealth over God. Now let's turn to Islam. The Islamic approach to wealth is structured, systematic, and obligatory in a way that is quite distinct from Christianity. The most important concept here is zakah, the third of the five pillars of Islam. Zakah is not voluntary charity. It is a religious obligation, a form of worship. Every Muslim who possesses wealth above the nisab threshold, which is equivalent to 87.48 grams of gold, must give 2.5% of their total savings each year to specified categories of recipients. These eight categories are listed in Surah 9, verse 60, and include the poor, the needy, those in debt, and travelers in need. Now, here is a critical distinction that examiners test regularly: the difference between zakah and sadaqah. Zakah is obligatory. It is a pillar of the faith. Sadaqah is voluntary charity, any additional giving beyond zakah. Confusing these two, or treating them as interchangeable, is one of the most common mistakes candidates make. If you are asked about Islamic attitudes to charity, you must distinguish between the two and explain the significance of zakah being compulsory. The Quranic foundation for charitable giving is found in Surah 2, verse 177, which states, "Righteousness is not that you turn your faces toward the east or the west, but righteousness is one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, and the prophets, and gives wealth, in spite of love for it, to relatives, orphans, the needy, the traveler, those who ask for help, and for freeing slaves." This verse is incredibly rich for exam purposes because it links giving to a comprehensive vision of righteousness. It is not just about ritual, but about action in the world. For Shia Muslims, there is an additional obligation called kums, meaning one-fifth. This requires giving 20% of annual surplus income, with half going to the poor and half to the imam or his representatives. This is a distinction between Sunni and Shia practice that higher-level candidates should be aware of. Section 2. Causes of poverty and religious responses. Examiners expect you to know not just what religions teach about poverty, but also what causes it and how religious people and organizations respond. The main causes of poverty you should know are war and conflict, which destroys infrastructure and displaces populations, natural disasters such as earthquakes and floods, which devastate communities, exploitation, including unfair wages, child labor, and unjust trade systems, and debt, particularly the burden of international debt on developing nations. Both Christianity and Islam teach that poverty is not simply the fault of the poor. The concept of structural sin in Catholic social teaching, the idea that unjust systems, not just individual choices, cause suffering, is highly relevant here. Pope Francis has spoken extensively about the obligation to address the systemic causes of poverty. Christian Aid is the key named organization you should know. Founded in 1945, Christian Aid works in over 50 countries, focusing on long-term development, emergency relief, and campaigning for justice. Crucially, their motivation is explicitly theological. They work because they believe in the dignity of every person as made in the image of God, the concept known as Imago Dei. When you write about Christian Aid in your exam, do not just describe what they do. Explain why they do it because of their theological conviction that every human being has inherent worth and that serving the poor is serving Christ. Islamic Relief is the equivalent Muslim organization, founded in Birmingham in 1984. Their work is motivated by the Quranic imperative to care for the vulnerable and by the concept of Ummah, the global community of Muslims who have a collective responsibility for one another's welfare. Section 3, Exam Tips and Common Mistakes. Now let's talk about how to turn this knowledge into marks. The OCR specification for this topic is assessed with 50% AO1, that is knowledge and understanding, and 50% AO2, that is analysis and evaluation. This means you cannot just list facts. You must argue, evaluate, and reach a justified conclusion. For the 15-mark discuss question, you have 20 minutes. Use them wisely. The command word discuss requires you to present multiple viewpoints, not just Christian or Muslim perspectives, but also non-religious viewpoints. A humanist might argue that charity is a moral obligation based on empathy and shared humanity without any need for religious motivation. A secular socialist might argue that systemic change through taxation and redistribution is more effective than charity. Including these perspectives in your answer demonstrates the breadth of understanding that secures the top band. Here are the three most common mistakes I see in exam scripts. Number one, confusing zakah with sadaqah. Remember, zakah is compulsory, sadaqah is voluntary. Number two, misquoting 1 Timothy. It is the love of money, not money itself. Number three, describing what a charity does without explaining the theological motivation. Always link the action to the belief. A versatile quote you should memorize is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. This short, punchy quote can be applied to questions about Christian attitudes to charity, stewardship, and the motivation for giving. It is easy to remember, and examiners will credit it. For the prosperity gospel debate, which is a higher-level evaluation point, you should know that some evangelical Christians argue that God rewards faith with material wealth. Critics, including most mainstream Christian theologians, argue this contradicts Jesus' teachings about the dangers of wealth and the call to serve the poor. Evaluating this tension in a 15-mark answer will push you into the top band. Section 4, Quick Fire Recall Quiz. Right, cover up your notes. I'm going to ask you 10 questions, see how many you can answer without looking. 1. What percentage of savings must Muslims give as zakah? 2.5%. 2. What is the nisab threshold in grams of gold? 87.48 grams. 3. Complete the quote, the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. 4. What is the Islamic term for voluntary charity beyond zakah? Sadaqah. 5. In which parable does Jesus say, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me? The parable of the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25. 6. What does Khalifa mean? Vicegerent or trustee of God on earth? 7. What additional obligation do Shia Muslims have beyond zakah? Khums, giving 20% of annual surplus income. 8. In which surah and verse does the Quran describe righteousness as including giving wealth to orphans and the needy? Surah 2, verse 177. 9. What is the theological motivation behind Christian Aid's work? the belief in Imago Dei, that every person is made in the image of God, and the teaching of the parable of the sheep and the goats. 10. What is the prosperity gospel, and why do mainstream Christians criticize it? The belief that God rewards faith with material wealth, criticized because it contradicts Jesus' warnings about wealth and the call to serve the poor. How did you do? If you got 8 or more, you are in great shape. If you got fewer than 6, go back and review the core concepts section. Section 5, summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. The key things to take away from today's episode are these. Both Christianity and Islam teach that wealth is a trust from God, not an end in itself. The correct quote is, "The love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself." Zakah is obligatory at 2.5%. Sadaqah is voluntary. Never confuse them. The parable of the sheep and the goats is the cornerstone Christian teaching on responding to poverty. Khalifa in Islam and stewardship in Christianity both teach responsible management of wealth on God's behalf. And for the 15-mark question, always include non-religious viewpoints and reach a clear, justified conclusion. You've got this. The more you practice retrieving this information without your notes, the more confident you will feel on exam day. Keep going back to those key quotes, keep linking beliefs to actions, and remember, examiners reward candidates who explain why, not just what. Good luck with your revision. I'll see you in the next episode.